today on Real Radio.
Listen, we are called to pray to God, and thus the word says, not my will, but thy will be done. We pray to him and we trust him enough. A lot of people are not trusting God today, and yet they're saying that they're praying. Pray believing, pray in the promises of God, and leave the outcome to God.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What God Says About the Future, continues a series now called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, Isaiah prophesied from 739 BC to 681 BC to a nation that had turned a deaf ear on the Lord. So through Isaiah, God has to warn Israel of the coming judgment in the hope that his chosen people would return to him. The book of Isaiah also provides us with a full scope into the life of Jesus Christ, his virgin birth, his sacrificial death, and his glorious return. In Isaiah chapter 30, we saw how much the Lord loves us, so much so that he willfully humbled himself to die on the cross to save us. Only the true believer who seeks the Lord's help will be blessed by him, and only the true believer can really have true peace in their hearts simply by understanding the truth of his word. Leaving God out of our lives only leaves us in fear. That's why he leaves the door wide open for us to return to him when we sin. And now in Isaiah chapter 31, we'll see how our future also belongs to him. So today, Pastor Jack asks, how does God keep time? God keeps a record of time by the nation of Israel and her relationship with him. God governs time. He is eternal with Israel as his timepiece. And there are timestamps regarding Israel as it relates to the Lord's return. And now in his lesson called What God Says About the Future, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Pray tonight as we look into this portion of Scripture, very exciting stuff for us. And Lord, I just pray that with all the verses, you'd give us the pen, as it were, of the ready writer your word talks about. We need to just kind of marinate or saturate ourselves in what we're looking at. And Lord, we just ask you to bridge the gap of this, almost 3,000-year-old prophecy now for us, sitting here tonight. How remarkable your Bible is that we open it up and we're going to be looking into the future, but this was written nearly 3,000 years ago. That's how awesome you are. Great and awesome God. We ask you now, Lord, to inhabit our worship as we worship in the Word. In Jesus' name, and all God's people again said, amen. Amen. Grab your Bibles tonight and turn to the 31st chapter of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 31. And we're looking at a message tonight entitled, What God Says About the Future. What God Says About the Future. And I'm going to encourage you tonight, if you write in your Bibles, by all means, do that tonight. Get your pen ready. If you don't write in your Bible, you ought to start tonight. You say, is that legal? It's totally legal. I think it's a great idea. Aren't I somehow defiling my Bible? Nope, because when you fill up this Bible with all your notes, do what I do. You wrap it up, put a rubber band around it, put it on your bookshelf, buy a new Bible, and start again. You ought to be able to look over the years of owning a Bible as you've walked with Jesus, and you can actually turn to those old pages of the Bible and look and see what God's been doing in your life, what books of the Bible you've studied, date things that happen when God speaks to you. But tonight's going to be one of those nights. There'll be a lot of verses for us to look at, and I trust for good reason. What God says about the future, Isaiah chapter 31. And think of this for a moment as we begin to look at it. If the Lord were to show you and I tonight how he keeps time, I mean, you and I have a watch or we have some form, mode of timekeeping. Most of us today use phones to see what time it is. We would look at a calendar. A calendar is a timepiece, if you think about it. It's not just a clock. Seasons are timepieces. Seasons tell us the changing of time. Look, we just recently had a time change, and isn't it bizarre? You get home from work now, and it's dark. and you feel like going to bed, and then you realize it's Wednesday night and you got to go to church, and I'm just talking about me. It's like, wow, this is crazy weird. Time. But how does God keep time? How does God keep his record of time? And according to the Bible, it's interesting, as you'll see in a moment, that God keeps time by the nation of Israel. That's how he keeps time. Isn't that weird? You ever think of that? God keeps his prophetic time clock set to the nation of Israel and its relationship to him. And that is a huge statement, but yet when you know the Bible, study the Bible, it is an absolute accurate answer. And shouldn't surprise us, by introduction into this chapter, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. And we're coming to a Christmas verse right here, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, as we get introduced to the study of chapter 31. Look at Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. This is the Messiah. This is written 743 years before Jesus was born. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. Just pause right there for a moment. This is not the push to this verse, but you've got a verse in the Bible that is announcing Mighty God is going to come as a child, for crying out loud. Look at your Bible verse. You need to, if you have a hard time with the deity of Jesus, or if you belong to a religion that denies that Jesus is eternal, look at that verse. For unto us a child is born. Kids are born all the time. What's special about this kid? Well, a son is given. That is a very, that statement right there could keep you studying for weeks. A son is given. Who gave the son? And why in the Bible is the S on son capitalized and the C on child capitalized? Why is that? Why in the original Hebrew language does it demand that in English it speak deity? I'm just throw that out to you. And the government will be upon his shoulder. You know any kid that's destined to bear the governments of the nations? And his name will be called Wonderful. Now, every mom that has a baby calls that kid Wonderful. But not like this one. Counselor, meaning he's got all the answers. That's what the kid thinks about himself later on, that he's got all the answers. But this kid does have all the answers. This is none other than Mighty God. And here's the punchline, as God keeping time, Everlasting Father. The Son is not the Father. Don't let that sway you. Everlasting Father, the word everlasting in Hebrew means the terminus. It means the duration, the unending one, the timeless one, the eternal one. And the word Father means this, the chief principal or governor over time and eternity. Whoever the Son is governs time. Whoever the child that is to be born is the one that presides. Time begins with him and it ends with him. And he's eternal. As it were, on one end of his arms, he holds the beginning of time. And at the conclusion of time, it reaches his other hand. And he is outside of time, being eternal. Radical verse. Awesome. God is the one that presides over time. And God has set Israel as his timepiece. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 24, verse 30, then, that's a timestamp statement. If you're a Bible student, you ought to know that. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, Jesus says regarding himself. And then, that's a timestamp, all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Verse 31, and he, remember Jesus is speaking, he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Verse 32, now, that's another time stamp. It's a timing issue. Learn this parable from the fig tree. When, timestamp again, Its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves. You know that summer is near. So you also, when, a time statement, you see all these things, know that it is near at the door. What am I saying? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 24, there are time stamps regarding my return. The number one time stamp regarding my second coming will be when the fig tree puts forth her leaves. If you're Jewish sitting on that hillside and you hear Jesus say that, it not only means that the season is changing, that's this picture, but in the spring, all trees put forth their leaves, but Jesus is specific, the fig tree. The fig tree is synonymous with the nation of Israel. Every Jew of that time knew that. Jesus said, near the end of time, when I come back, just before I return, the fig tree will be putting forth her leaves again. That's a time statement. What does that refer to? Amos chapter 9, verse 14. Amos 9, 14. God says, I will bring back the captives of my people who? Okay, you guys. We need to stop the service and get you some coffee, I think. We'll just rewind that. Amos 9, 14. I will bring back the captives of my people. There you are. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. Has that happened? They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. God says this, that Israel is the timepiece. So number one, church, as we look at this tonight, it's a short chapter, but that doesn't mean we'll get out of here early. Just nine verses begins with this. What God says about the future is that the future belongs to Him. That shouldn't surprise us, but tonight's message ought to bring you comfort. The future belongs to God. According to God, He's written it down in advance. But look at verses 1-3, because it never pays to trust in man. The future belongs to God. It never pays to trust in man. And He says in verse 1, woe to those who go down to Egypt for help and rely on horses, who trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong, but do not look to the Holy One of Israel, nor seek the Lord. Stop right there for a moment, verse 1. You all know, we remember that the northern kingdom had been captured by the Assyrian Empire. Isaiah's prophesying to the south. That's Benjamin and Judah. That's where Jerusalem's at. He's speaking to them. And King Hezekiah is trembling. You can read details about that in 2 Kings, starting about chapter 16 through to chapter 19. Hezekiah is terrified. It's inevitable. The Assyrian Empire is coming. And so instead of the nation going to prayer, fasting, seeking God, knowing the word of God, because the promises were there, they were tempted. The king was tempted and the nation was tempted to go send a note, as it were, to Egypt and say, will you help us against the invading Assyrian Empire? So God rebukes them. And God is saying, woe to you. Don't trust in men. Man cannot help you. A warning He gives to them. God is the governor of time. Do you believe in God tonight? If you believe in God tonight, He's the governor of time. The Bible teaches that. Now, number one, and this is not the point of the study tonight, if we really, really walk in that area of faith in God, and I understand how this is, we waffle back and forth at times, but we ought not to be worrying about things. The Christian should be the last person on earth worrying about stuff. Number one, our God governs time. But Pastor, if I don't make a decision really soon, they're going to... Listen, our God governs time. If you're running out ahead in your life and you're all panicking out and you've made decisions without God, then you're probably, Christian, in trouble. Because listen, when you run ahead of the Lord, He won't keep up with you. He's got His timing. And you can get all excited and you can get all pumped up and you run ahead and God is still about 2 miles back behind you. And then you hit a block wall, your nose is all bloody, you've got stars ringing around your head, you don't know what's going on, and you ask God, how could you do this to me? And he's been calling you the whole time, well, I told you to wait. I told you to wait on me. You wouldn't wait. You made a decision, you ran ahead, you go all excited. Now look, you bloodied up your nose, ran right into a wall. I didn't do it to you, you did it to you. The same thing is true when somebody says, listen, I tell you what, I'll do this, I'll do that for you. Or I'll give you this promise. And as humans, we're prone to that. Someone says something, we get all excited. Oh, you know what he said? Be careful not to trust in men or to establish alliances. The Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 1 to be very careful as believers that we do not listen to the counsel of the ungodly. Wait upon the Lord. God governs time. He says, God says to the nation, you should have looked to the Holy One of Israel. Look at verse 2. Yet he also is wise and will bring disaster. This is the Lord. And will not call back his word. Wow. When God speaks it, it goes. But will arise against the house of evildoers and against the help of those who work iniquity. Now, the Egyptians are men. God's crying out to his people. It would be like God saying to America today, Donald Trump is just a man. Congress is just a man. Wall Street is just a bunch of men. Ladies, I'm not meaning men like male. I'm talking mankind, okay? Don't get offended. I'm talking people. Don't trust in those things. They're going to let you down. So, the Egyptians are men and not God, and their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out his hand, both he who helps will fall and he who is helped will fall down. They all will perish together. What a strong word to us tonight. We are to trust in the Lord in what he has said. That is a word to us to take the promises of God, people, and stand firm on them. To stand strong on them. And so when he says in verse 2, he will not call back his word. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 10. And again, these verses you ought to write next to these margins are these verses of 1, 2, and 3. In Isaiah 55, verse 10 and 11, listen to this regarding God's word. When God speaks, this is the confidence, Christian, that you can have. Verse 10, Isaiah 55, for as the rain comes down, except in Southern California, and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but waters the earth and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, God says. Listen, it shall not return to me void. But it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. God's word. This is, listen, encouragement to us. When you witness to people, God's word will not return void. Even if they don't accept it, his word will not return void. Listen, when you pray for somebody, I got to tell you, when we pray for people in the foyer or courtyard or wherever, this is my mindset. You know from the Bible that sometimes when the disciples or Jesus prayed for someone, they were healed instantly. And then have you ever read in your Bible carefully, it says, and they prayed and in that same hour, the man was made whole. It means that the man wasn't healed that instant, but within the hour, the man was made whole. Isn't that weird? What's that all about? I don't know. How about the one where Jesus says, you know what? Go back home. By the time you get back home, your child will be well. That's God's business. But here's the deal. When you pray, because of the promises of God, you can pray in faith, standing firm, and let God answer your request as he sees fit. You get all goofed up and convoluted when you begin to dictate to God how he ought to answer the prayer. Hey, God, I just prayed this prayer, and so I want you to answer it this way. Listen, we are called to pray to God, and thus the word says, not my will, but thy will be done. We pray to him and we trust him enough. A lot of people are not trusting God today, and yet they're saying that they're praying. Pray, pray believing, pray in the promises of God and leave the outcome to God. We get prayer messed up. Okay, God, I just prayed this prayer. Chop, chop, get it done. Do it now. He's not Santa Claus and he's not your maid. He's not your butler. We pray according to the will of God. You leave the results to God. But always we are to pray believing. And I like to pray this way. I pray believing. I'm praying in obedience to your word. And if we've ever prayed together for a need that you might have, I'll say, and Lord, I'm going to thank you in advance for what you're going to do in my brother or sister's life. Why? Because he's going to do something. What is it? I don't know. I don't need to know. He didn't ask me to know. But God's word goes out. God keeps time, friends. And he's asking us to look to his word, and his word is very clear. In the context of our study, Israel is a timepiece. Church, listen, has God given Israel promises? Is he going to keep them? If God doesn't keep his promises to Israel, he'll never keep his promise, nor is he obligated to keep any promise that he's given to you. Think of that. If he breaks the promise with Israel, which he says, I've made an everlasting covenant with them, then he's not obligated to keep any promise to you. But hallelujah, the promises he has made to Jew and Gentile alike, he will not fail. Amen. Oh boy. The prophetic attributes of our God is encouraging. It brings me comfort. It's all about our God having the future belong to him. And so one of the things that helps us not trust in men is to trust in God because he knows all things. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20, 1 Peter 1:20, listen to this. And I'm going to give you a string of verses here, okay? So get ready. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. He indeed was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest, speaking about Christ, in these last times for you, who through him believed in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. What does that mean? Faith and hope, trust in God, because God speaks and God fulfills. The Bible speaks that Christ would come and that Christ did come. And Peter was an eyewitness to that. Revelation 19, verse 10. John says, and I fell at his feet to worship him, but he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am a fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called, What God Says About the Future. Thanks for joining us today. You know, like Pastor Jack says, we need to trust in God. The promises in his word will never fail us. Our message, What God Says About the Future, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah, a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before the day he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Hey, we have a special offer for you. It's called All About the Future Things. It's the DVD set. In this 8-part series, you'll clearly see why you can trust the Bible as the very Word of God and what it says about future things. Why do we want to know about the future? Well, there's this thing called eternity, and the Bible tells us in detail what that's going to be like. The Bible is the best-selling, most quoted, influential book in the history of mankind, and what you believe and why you believe it is essential to your future. So head on over to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org, where All About the Future Things DVD set is now available for your gift of any amount. When giving your gift, be sure to specify All About the Future Things. That's at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us for any reason, you can call us at 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. Or you can write to us at P.O. Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And don't forget, we have other ways to connect with us, such as Facebook, Instagram, and the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app. Or you can visit our website at reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click right there on our contact tab. It's real easy, and we'd be happy to get back to you. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.